What up, my dudes, and welcome back to the best things about pro wrestling this month, the show where I talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month. I'm your host, Omar, the same host that currently doesn't have a domain name for his website because he's broke. Yes, sir. So yeah, this is the second episode of the best things about pro wrestling this month, where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month, where it could be a match, segment, character development, or anything between. This is the show where we celebrate anything pro wrestling that particular month. Now, let's talk about March. March was a very uneventful month, other than maybe Revolution and Revolution, the Hardy Boys reuniting, and it feels so good, but we will talk about that, by the way. Other than Revolution, also, by the way, March was also the month that was the unfortunate passing of Scott Hall, aka Razor Ramon. Rest in power to the man. Which, by the way, you guys should check out his match with Shawn Michaels on the, I think, early August episode of SmackDown wasn't a thing back in 94, episode of Monday Night Raw, which you guys should check out. It's really, really good. Like, I would say it's my favorite Razor Ramon / Scott Hall match, in my honest opinion. It's also an underappreciated, when people think of the Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels match, they usually think of the WrestleMania ladder match, which was a good match. I really enjoyed that match. I mean, it was full of high spots, like the Shawn Michaels, you know, from the splash, from the ladder. That was a pretty cool spot, but I prefer their 94, 95 SummerSlam match, the rematch for the IC title. I don't know why. Like, is this just me, or is it like WWF 94, 95? I don't know why they just bleed in together. I feel like 94 was like, 1995 was like 94 part 2. You know, like, in terms of, like, the storytelling and the presentation and everything. Maybe that's just me. I mean, I became a wrestling fan around 07, so whatever. So, yeah, as you've read the title, we do have a guest. He's an Italian journalist, you know, podcaster, like myself right now. And he's an overall cool dude, Frank Montellini of the Wrestling, Last Minute Wrestling Podcast. Such a cool dude. He's been a supporter of mine for a few years now, so, you know, it's a way for me to return back the love and the support that he's shown me for like a few years now. So shout out to him. And without further ado, my goodness, I'm so tired today. I hate the so-called productivity, my goodness. Anyways, without further ado, here is my chat with Frank Montellini oh my fucking god, this show sucks, man. Hit that, oh my god, this is the worst show. That's it for the show. Anyways, without further ado, here is my episode, my first guest of the best things about pro wrestling this month with Frank Montellini, where we chatted everything pro wrestling that month.
As you read from the title, we do have a guest on. He is a Italian journalist, if I'm not mistaken. Italian journalist, podcaster.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, as I said on my articles and stuff, he's also not only a podcaster, but a fellow POC. I'm here with Frank Montellini of the Last Minute Wrestling Podcast, man. What's good? What's good with you, man?
Dude, I love when you say that Italians are POCs. Yeah, we are. Definitely, we are. Not now. I don't have my 10 on at the moment, but in a few months, I will be tanned enough to say that I'm a very, very light POC.
Or a very dark POC if you've been on the sun for too long, like myself, because I have a higher melanin type. But anyways,
yes,
because I'm a black guy. But anyways, so how do you feel about pro wrestling in general this month, or like the last month? Like, how do you feel? Like, is it pretty low, pretty mid, like, is it?
I think I'm not the best guy to ask this question, because as of late I didn't pay enough attention on what was going on. Okay. I mean, yeah, I know what happened. I read the dirt sheets, and I read your Raw reviews, SmackDown reviews that you do on that helps me a lot, because I don't have much time on my hands. So wherever I can save time by reading your reviews, that's great. I know what went on. I think I paid a little bit more attention to smaller federations, like something that was going on here in Europe, and also like on Impact, mostly because of Speedball Mike Bailey, which is a guy I really appreciate.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. But yeah, I think I have kind of an idea what we're going to discuss. So please go on.
Anyways, speaking, I just went to my Twitter. Ding, 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 ding. Breaking news. Triple H has just announced on Stephen E. Smith that he has officially retired from in-ring competition. Now, as a wrestling fan yourself, I mean, I became a fan around 07. I'm very sorry to hear that, because you're an older guy. I'm in my early 20s. sorry for that. So I'm curious, like, how do you feel about this announcement? Like, what do you think about Triple H as a character as a whole? Because I know he's had a long tenured career. the Reign of Terror. So I'm very curious on your thoughts on Triple H, or as a whole, like this announcement in general.
I used to hate Triple H wholeheartedly, because when he was in Evolution, that's where I started watching wrestling. So not many years before you.
Yeah.
And I hated him with a passion, but then I realized how good a heel he was at the time. Probably that was the peak of his career, at least in my humble opinion. And I think Triple H's career is kind of a mixed bag, because he has done it all. Yeah, he has fought them all, etc., etc. But if you don't buy into the WWE narrative, you know that he was the guy that was working with the stars. He wasn't the star per se. And so he was working with Triple H. He was working with Stone Cold. He was working with The Rock. He was working with Shawn Michaels as well. I mean, he was then later on with John Cena, with CM Punk, with, you know, he has always been the one working with the real, real stars. But of course, he's one of the biggest name ever in WWE and North America Wrestling, of course. He has done wonders in NXT, especially from 2013 to 2016, I would say.
I'll say 18 or 19, especially with the introduction of War Games. I'll say that as well.
Okay, yeah, I give you that. I can give you that. He demonstrated that he has a brilliant mind for the business, which is something that not many people thought of before. And so much respect to the guy. He has never been one of my favorites, but in hindsight, I love this stuff.
You know, I was about to criticize how mid March was in terms of like the mainstream consciousness, but now, like, I'm on my Twitter, there's like news coming out. We just announced right now, I'm on my Twitter, Shad Caspard of Crime yes. Time has been named as recipient of the 2022 Warrior Award for the Hall of Fame. As reported by Fox Sports, whatever the hell that means. Let's do that. In other words, we just gave you the info and you just break it for us.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about, let's just quickly, what do you think about the Shad Caspard being on the Warrior World? Because it seems very fitting, because, you know, he's such a tremendous guy, and, you know, especially the stories of him, you know, saving.
Yeah.
There was a robbery story where, like, he saved from a robbery, you know, he was just overall just a tremendous guy. And I just want to hear just quickly just thoughts on, you know, this announcement just, you know, like hours, not hours ago, but like a few hours ago. So what do you think about this announcement, my man?
Yeah, I think it's very well deserved. We all know how he died tragically, saving a child, and that's enough to grant such an award, and even more than that, at least in my book. And the Warrior Award is a very weird thing, because it has noble intentions, but it's named after an homophobic piece of shit. So that's kind of weird. Apart from that, it's great that they gave him posthumously this distinction.
I've always thought about the Hall of Fame in general just as a marketing tool to just promote the WrestleMania festivities. I mean, it's just,
yes.
I mean, it is. I mean, the criteria is what Vince McMahon wants. So it's like, you know, like, I wouldn't be mad. Go ahead. What are you trying to say?
Oh, no, sorry to interrupt. But yeah, that's totally a marketing tool. It's not even a real Hall of Fame. And I mean, if they like categorize everything, like, okay, we need one legend, we need one WWE employee, we need a woman, we need a Native American, we need an African American, we need, you know, it's like, I understand the ratio behind it, the rationale behind it, understand it, but that's 100% a marketing move. That's it not so, like, come on, man. It used to be about like very huge name that left a mark in the business. Like the first, I think the first inductee was Andre the Giant and Vince Senior.
Yes.
So, you know, people who legitimately change things.
Yeah.
And then they started adding people. Then now I think they're like adding like 20 wrestlers / personalities per year, which is weird. Basically, every other employee that has entered Titan Towers deserves to be in the Hall of Fame at the moment. That is really, really weird. And let's face it, for good or for worse, there aren't that many people there aren't left that many people that deserve something, an achievement like a Hall of Fame. Because everyone who should have already been inducted has been inducted. So,
true.
I mean, Owen Hart is the only one left, probably, that will never go inside.
I was about to say that would never happen. Also, they inducted some guy, some racist piece of shit named Terry, and I don't know about that guy. So anyways, here's the quote-unquote scripted part of the show, because I wrote a bunch of notes. So the first best things about pro wrestling this month was, I'm going to be called an AEW shill over here, but it is AEW's latest, well, not late, it is their latest and their first pay-per-view of 2022, and it is AEW's Revolution. It is by far one of the best pay-per-views, although one of the things I would complain about AEW shows, although like I kind of understand, is their length, especially people, you know, international folks like us, where we had to stay up for like, you know, late in the morning, and the shows last for like 4 hours. I remember when I woke up like at 7-8 in the morning that week, and when Revolution was airing, I was like, yo, this show is still airing? Like, and I just woke up at like 8 a.m. because usually like a pay-per-view would air at like around, you know, 4 or 5 and end at like around 8, which is why like Money in the Bank 2020 is my favorite pay-per-view of all time, because it ended at 2 hours and I love that. I mean, one of the highlights of this show was CM Punk and MJF's match. It was bloody as hell. I mean, there was so much blood. I mean, it was so much blood. Our aforementioned Triple H, he made him pretty jealous. You know, that's how blood it had on the match. And I mean, other than that, it was a great, great pay-per-view. I don't even have the card with me. That's how like quote-unquote scripted it is. But it is, AEW Revolution is by far the best pay-per-view of the year, and it's pretty healthy. You know, we're in a very 2022. Yes. So let me ask you this, Frank. I'm going to assume you've seen the show, correct?
You're so wrong. I know the results, and I've seen like highlights of everything, but I think I saw the Punk MJF match.
Yes.
Yeah. The one I saw it for.
So let me ask you this. So since we're going to make this question a little like pretty much the same, so how do you feel about AEW's pay-per-view, generally speaking, with 3 years being, with AEW being around for almost a few years now, 3 years now. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about AEW's pay-per-views in general? Is it good, bad, somewhere in between? How do you feel about the length, the time length? You know, how do you feel about the shows or their shows in general?
I think they're doing a terrific job. They are probably producing the most well-timed TV shows / pay-per-views. Like very rarely, whenever I get the chance to catch up with that, very rarely I feel like something is misplaced and I feel bored of what I'm seeing. And they've been on for 3 years now, and they are like kicking in the highest gear possible. I think they are ahead of the curve of what's going on in wrestling, and considering that they are such a young federation, that's unbelievable. They're doing an amazing job. I'm actually really curious, speaking about the latest news of this month, I'm actually really curious to see what will become of ROH in Tony Khan's hands.
Facts.
That's really intriguing. That's really intriguing to me.
Look, as a guy who's been pretty much a WWE shill his entire like tenure, and maybe with a little bit of TNA, I'm very, as a guy who's kind of like a fan of, you know, I wouldn't say a fan, but like as a casual fan of Ring of Honor, watching, you know, those matches, whether it's, you know, Daniel Bryan's tenure with the company or Samoa Joe, for example. So I'm very curious on that. You know, hopefully it's not NXT Color Vomit Edition, but you know, hopefully it does.
It's not Color Vomit. It's Unicorn Jeets.
I mean,
that's what it is.
Same thing. So obviously, Revolution started off with Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston's. But I would say Eddie Kingston by far is Eddie Kingston's best in-ring match. Also, some of the highlights were Wardlow winning the Face the Revolution ladder match. John Moxley defeating Bryan Danielson, which came
the and debut. William Regal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Dr. Britt Baker defeating Thunder Rosa, which, by the way, Thunder Rosa did defeat Britt Baker to win the AEW World's Women's Championship in a steel cage. And obviously the Amphro mentioned
at last she did that, because I was waiting for that since her debut.
Yeah, exactly. And the main event, I mean, obviously we've mentioned the CM Punk and MJF match, which I thought was the best built match of the show. Like, I've always thought MJF was, in my opinion, way too one. I mean, pro wrestling has always had one dimensional characters, but he was way too damn one dimensional. So I really appreciated how they kind of expanded his character and kind of expecting his origins, and how, you know, MJF, what made MJF an asshole basically was how like his childhood and how he had to deal with anti-Semitism in his high school. They called him like a Jew, and then he had to jacked up, and then he beat the crap out of it. So, you know, it's like that one moment that kind of changed his perception on people. I was like, you know what, that kind of makes sense why he's like such an asshole. It's because of that one fateful moment. And I appreciated stuff like that. Obviously, the main event was Hangman Adam Page and defeating Adam Cole. It was a great match, great main event, even though it was overshadowed by the CM Punk and MJF match. But still, it was overall a fantastic pay-per-view. Also to mention, I would say Keith Lee was a highlight of the Face of the Revolution ladder match. I would say he was a pretty highlight too. And overall, like a great, great card. And nothing much to say other than two bunch of AEW shilling on AEW, I guess. And speaking of AEW, we have another best things about pro wrestling this week. It is the reunion of the Hardy Boys. So obviously, Matt Hardy was betrayed by Private Party and Andrade and his, you know, the gang that, or crew that Matt Hardy managed, and he was betrayed by them until Sting and Darby Allin showed up to make the save, and then they were kind of taken down until the debuting Jeff Hardy showed up, and he helped his brother to now form the AEW, he debuted in AEW, but he reunited the Hardy Boys, and like I said on the intro a little bit, and it feels so good. So let me ask you this, Frank. I'm going to assume like you're a huge fan of the Hardy Boys, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I can say I am.
Okay. So let me ask you this. How do you feel about the Hardy Boys kind of reuniting in a newer promotion like AEW? And how would you feel like it would affect the tag team division? Do you think it would affect the tag team division in a positive way, negative way, somewhat in between? Do you think AEW should introduce like a secondary title, like a trios title, like I've been suggesting for quite some time? Like, what do you feel about the Hardy Boys joining a very deep, deep AEW's tag team division and their roster, basically?
Personally, I'm not particularly fond on trios titles.
Okay.
But with that being said, I think that they have to exploit the value of the Hardy Boys now, because if you remember correctly, when they redebuted in WWE at WrestleMania 33, they had a massive pop, and they had like immediately a pretty good response, a pretty good run, and then like
nothing happened.
They became stale quite quickly, because it's, I mean, they are of course one of the greatest tag teams of all times, we all know that, but they're not getting any younger, and if they want to use them properly, I'm not saying that they need belts, because, well, probably just one run can be interesting, just to say, okay, we've been tag team champions everywhere. Okay, that's cool. But in reality, they don't need belts. They need to be used properly to elevate other guys like the Private Party, because we, everybody knows that they are like in real life, Matardi's proteges. And that's something that needs to be done here. I think other possible pairings would be with the Butcher and the Blade, because in my opinion, they have a great potential, but they've never been used properly. They lose every time. They lose every fucking time. So I used to like Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, but now I can't wait for them to split up, because quite frankly, I'm thinking that Luchasaurus is holding Jungle Boy down. And Jungle Boy is a star. He will be a much, much bigger star in a few years. But I think they need to rush that split and maybe possibly lose the tag titles. And so, yeah, the Hardy Boys can help in that, mixing up with all those younger kids. I don't know if I want to see it something like, I don't know, the Hardy Boys versus Moxley and Danielson. I don't know if I want that, because that's, I don't know if it ever actually happened in WWE. I have no clue, but it's not something I will be interested in watching.
I mean, in my honest opinion, I think this is a great thing, like as you said, for reasons such as, you know, it could put, you know, you're putting the other talent over. It's just a great other reason. The other great thing about this reunion is because it could kind of boast up the already great, you know, the asset, AEW's greatest asset, which is their tag team division. And I also do think that I think the Hardy Boys could be a great asset, if you think about it, for the upcoming ROH show, because they've already won the ROH tag team titles. So I do think that could be a great asset for the ROH brand in general. So yeah, like,
yeah, absolutely.
So overall, I think this is a positive move for AEW, in my opinion. I mean, their roster is becoming like my stomach, in the sense that it's getting a little too bloated. But I also do think that there's nothing wrong with bringing, you know, greater talent like the Hardy Boys, and Keith Lee, and, you know, William Regal, and, you know, Bloody War Games. You know, like, there's nothing wrong with that. So. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Frank.
Yes.
How do you feel about, I mean, you don't want, I mean, obviously you've said earlier that you don't watch, you know, WWE like that. So let me ask you this. So based on what you've seen on social media and stuff, how do you feel about the WrestleMania build for 38? Because if you think about it, WrestleMania is in almost 2 weeks away. Not even 2 weeks. It's like a week away. So
yeah,
based on like social media and present, based on reading my reviews, which you can read at playoutwrestlingpodcast.blogspot.com, which, by the way, I need a domain name because I'm broke. So let me ask you this. So how do you feel about the build based on, you know, social media and the general consensus from like your fellow wrestling fans, basically?
I was pretty excited about this WrestleMania for the first time in a few years. Like when they announced the Brock versus Roman match, it's something that has been done to death in the past. Okay, I know that. I know. True, but true. They they found a way to make it interesting, which is something that I never thought I'd say, because I did not like every other iteration of this match. So I was like, you know what? This title versus title, it's something like, I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it, because for a casual fan who doesn't know shit about wrestling, they see title versus titles and they immediately think, okay, that must be a big deal. WrestleMania is a mainstream attraction and they want to attract as many casual fans as possible. And I understand why they went with that match. It's not necessarily the best thing for the company, the booking, or for the Royal Rumble that they booked Brock to win. But I mean, it's from a marketing standpoint, again, it's really intriguing. And I don't know why I'm interested in the Nakamura match, which is a stupid tag match that probably will go like on the pre-show or something like that. Don't ask me why. I'm intrigued by that match. I was quite into the possibility of Stone Cold returning, but if I'm not mistaken, it seems like that they will have like a skit in the ring or something like that and not a full-blown match.
That's true.
That's kind of a bummer. And I'm not as hyped as I was like a couple of weeks ago, but probably for the first time in a while, I will ask a couple of friends to come over and watch WrestleMania together, which is something that actually used to happen like 10 years ago or something like that. So it's something that in recent time, it never happened before. But yeah, maybe, I don't know, we are out of a pandemic. Well, not totally out at the moment. So I'm saying, you know what, even if it's crap, like, let's do something different for once, you know. So yeah, that's probably why I'm mildly excited about WrestleMania.
So I've been covering WrestleMania for like, this is my fourth WrestleMania, because my first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 35 when Seth Rollins won the Universal title, the whole Kofi Mania movement. That was like my first WrestleMania that I covered. And I'm going to say this is by far like not the worst, because the worst is, in my opinion, last year's, because those Raws were trash. I would say like this year's has been kind of watchable, but it's not great. But there was one arc that I did like about WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I mean, the build. And speaking of, and it is in my best things about pro wrestling this month. This is my third and my last. It is Seth Rollins' arc. Now, are you familiar with Seth Rollins' storyline going around right now?
Yes, I am.
Basically, it is what Seth Rollins... Basically, Seth Rollins is doing whatever he takes to be part of that show, whether it's facing Kevin Owens for, you know, who gets to host WrestleMania. I mean, a show for WrestleMania for Steve Austin. And then this past week was when he faced AJ Styles in order to, you know, face Edge. So I think the entire arc was Seth Rollins trying to wanting to be part of a show that he's been part of since, I don't know, WrestleMania 9 years ago.
Yeah, so, I would say yeah. That, yeah.
So his entire arc is basically he wants to be part of this show. And to be fair, it is a very simple story, but it's a story that I kind of appreciate, because it's like something you've never heard as much. You don't rarely hear about characters talking about how they really miss, you know, they really want to be on the show of shows, and that was something that they've never expanded on WWE mainstream television. But it's something that I kind of appreciate, especially since in real life they do talk about how they appreciate WrestleMania and their goals is being on that show, whether it's being on the opening match or even the main event or even somewhere in between, you know. Like a six-man tag or something that you would probably use that as a piss break. But I do think that his arc is, I would say, by far my favorite. I would say not my, I mean, other than, I can't really think of like the best arc other than his. So,
yes,
if I'm predicting, he's probably going to be on the show.
but he's gonna probably do a NXT takeover San Antonio where he just intervened on the show. He's like, when he's like, instead of like wanting to call somebody out, he's basically like, I'm just gonna have an impromptu like opening match or something, like, you know, just open challenge, and maybe they can invite Cody Rhodes, which according to PW Insider, he did sign with the company and signed on as a producer, I believe. So that could happen, or they could bring in like an NXT talent. Basically, he could do an open challenge. That's like something I would do, or something that they would probably do. So what do you think about that notion of him probably doing like a like an impromptu, like an open challenge, basically?
I would really love to see Cody Rhodes respond to that call. Mainly because I would like to see the IWC melt and explode, not necessarily in that order. And I don't know. Cody Rhodes' story is fascinating to me.
It is.
He is one of the few wrestlers I can truly say I've been a fan of. And it's in many ways, in more ways than one, he inspired me to do what I did in my personal and professional life in the recent years. So I decided to walk away from a company that was like a good job that I liked, but the environment was toxic as fuck. And I created my own path, and now things are going great. So I mean, that he was a great inspiration to do that. And what he decided to do to leave AEW must have been difficult for him, because of course he was one of the guys who created AEW. But if you think about it, he did not fit the mold of a Kenny Omega or Young Bucks or whatever. And to see him go back will be something that nobody predicted. And now it poses a lot of questions. What's he going to do? Are they going to treat him as a main eventer? Are they going to use him properly? Is he bashing AEW now all of a sudden? I mean, sometimes good wrestling is when you ask yourself a lot of questions. And I think just by walking out of AEW and maybe hinting at the Mania match against Seth Rollins, he was able to create those questions in our minds. That's cool. That's cool as fuck, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, you know, there is a possibility that he might come back as Stardust, because you know how this company works.
Yes.
So,
yes, I know.
So yeah. So is there any best things about pro wrestling that happened in the month of March that you want to highlight, whether it's an independent match or, you know, anything in between, like some that happened in March that nobody is split under the radar that people should really, really check out?
Oh, it's often that is like not so much of a big deal for many people, but for me it is.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with NXT UK, but there is a wrestler from NXT UK called A-Kid. He's coming from Spain. And he is the first ever Spanish wrestler to be signed with WWE. And a couple of weeks ago, he debuted in NXT. And he defeated Kushida in the first match. And that was cool as fuck for many, many guys like me here in Europe, where wrestling isn't necessarily as big as it is in the US or somewhere else in the world. To see a European guy debut in NXT, even this version of NXT, I would have preferred the black and gold, but even with this version.
I mean, he is a fellow Latin like yourself, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that was cool. I had the chance to interview him. If you go to one of the earlier episodes of my podcast, I did an interview with him, with A-Kid. And he's a nice, well-spoken guy. I interviewed him for PWI as well. And when he won the Heritage Cup, in NXT UK, and yeah, it's one of those guys that you genuinely want to see succeed, because it looks like a nice guy, and he is, at least to my knowledge, to the every interaction I had with him. So, you know, coming literally from nothing, because I know the place where he was born. I know that part of the city of Madrid, and I can assure you, he comes from nothing. and seeing making a big time splash in NXT, that's amazing. That's a great story, and that was one of the highlights actually for me this month in wrestling. I know that it's like really niche. A lot of people will have no idea what I'm talking about, but
I mean, three people are going to listen to this anyway, so who cares?
Perfect. So yeah, that was a cool moment. And similarly to that, I would add, as I said in the beginning, Speedball Mike Bailey debuting in Impact Wrestling.
Okay.
He is one of the nicest guy in wrestling, one of the most unique talents in wrestling. And when he was on the verge to debut for big time companies in the US in 2016, he got banned to enter the US for 5 years, which is something mad.
Wow.
And I have much respect for that guy, because he didn't complain. Basically, he said, okay, fuck it, I cannot step foot into an American ring, I will step foot in every other fucking country's rings until I can get back. And that's what he did. It literally traveled the world. It became a global sensation, totally on his own. And see that now, 5 years have passed, he can come back to the US to wrestle, and Impact signed him. That's amazing. So props to the guy for the incredible story of human values, which, by the way, you can read about it in Pro Wrestling Illustrated of this month. You can order it on the website, because I did a fucking article on there as well.
Yeah, shout out to PWI, and shout out to a fellow PWI writer, Righteous Reg, of the yes. Grapsity podcast. I listen to that podcast every week, and hopefully by this year, and this is my goal, I've put this on last year, hopefully I get to be on that show, because I really admire those dudes, especially Will Washington, who I've been listening to the RBR Wrestling podcast since, goddamn, we're going on almost 10 years now. Like, I've been listening to that. So it'd be great if I always on the, I mean, Andrew Thompson was on that show. I already have connections.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there at some point. Anyways, this is a perfect way to end this. I mean, we've been talking for like at least 30-ish minutes, 20 or so-ish minutes. So before we go, I know you've been, I know you've put your podcast on hold, but like, when is the timetable of bringing that podcast back? Is it like a month, 2 months, three months?
It's going to be somewhere in May.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know if at the beginning of the month or later. Or like early June, but probably May. I said, I tweeted something about it. I want to change the format a little bit, because mostly I've been doing interviews, which I love to do. I absolutely love to do. It gives me the possibility to get in touch with cool people who have done cool shit in their life. So, you know, it's inspiring, it's interesting. But that's not the only thing I want to discuss. And I can give you this preview for the first time ever, just for you.
Let's go.
Omar the player guy.
Okay.
You will know that there will be like a mini series within my podcast where I talk about the history of pro wrestling. Mm. And the first episode will be about Bruno Sammartino.
Fellow Italian.
Yes. Fellow Italian and the longest reigning ever WWE champion. I mean, nobody is going to beat 11 years, right?
Yeah. Unless your name is... I mean, true.
Yeah. So there you go. You got this breaking news just for you.
Yeah, true.
And for your listeners.
My old three listeners, and one of them is my old account, the other one is my man named JJ, and the other one is probably my parents. Hello, mom. So anyways, so before we end this, I want to just give you an appreciation of being a fan and listening to and reading my stuff for quite some time. I mean, we've known each other for like almost 2 years now, and you've always like retweeted and always like shown me support. So I've always appreciated that. So you being on this show is just kind of a reward in my opinion, because I'm a freaking nobody. And honestly, the fact that I remember a time like when I started this in late 2018 when I had zero traction. Now I'm getting over like 1,000 impressions on Twitter, maybe, depending on my articles and stuff. And because of this, and you know, I get to meet people like yourself. Hell, even Sean Ross Sapp followed me on Twitter, which is insane.
And yeah, you know, that's insane. That's so cool, man. Good for you.
It is. And you know, being on, you know, being featured on like Fightful and post wrestling, and you know, and you sending me, you know, your stuff, you know, sending me your interviews so I can feature them on my Newsweek, really appreciate. So I thank you for, you know, just basically being a good guy and just basically supporting what I have to do, which is basically write about wrestling and poop jokes at the same time.
Man, I honestly love what you do, because I think you found like a great groove, like between like reporting news and being ironic about it, because we all need some levity. True. I generally like to support good guys, people who, as I said before, when I was talking about A-Kid and Speedball, I mean, people who bust their asses in many ways. I mean, it can be a podcast, it can be a blog, it can be a YouTube channel, it can be everything. I mean, I know how hard it's the work behind the scenes, because it takes fucking forever to create something. Really, whether it is a written text or a video or whatever, and so when I see some people like you doing like this shit and keeping up with the work week in and week out, it's tough. And if I can show my appreciation with a little like and a little retweet, I will do that, man. I love to do that.
Yeah, much appreciated. So where can people find your stuff where they can just basically binge and listen to your old stuff, including your infamous interview with Rob Van Dam?
With RVD. People won't see me, but I did the thing, the RVD and gesture, of course, when I said that.
Of course.
Everybody should do that. People can find my stuff wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Last Minute Wrestling Podcast, or on the website lmwpodcast.com. It will be very cool if you want to rate it 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave a little review. Say, hey, Frank, you're a great Italian guy, and we all love you. I like to read that stuff, but it never happens. So someone should start doing that. And and apart from that, all over social media, it's at LMW Podcast. So come and say hi. I'm mostly active on Twitter, by the way, because every other social media, I fucking suck at it.
True. And speaking of 5 stars, you can hit that 5 stars on Spotify on my podcast, Best Things About Pro Wrestling, this month. And you can find me on Twitter at Ermer the Player Guy. Find me on my website, playoutwrestlingpodcast.blogspot.com. And that's pretty much it. So, you know, that here's Frank, and I'm Ermer, and stay safe, Smarks, and have a good one. And other than that, I have nothing else to do, because I have a brain fart for some weird reason. I hate having brain. This shit is so annoying. But you know,
I never know how to close the podcast. So I just say ciao, which is the most universal thing I can say as an Italian.
Or I can say we out.